Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi,
June.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. How are you, June?
Good morning.
Are you okay? I'm not.
You just said, do you look? Are you okay?
Yeah,
I don't look and I'm not okay.
Okay, start from the beginning. Start from the beginning and let's unpack it.
Sorry.
That's okay. What's going on?
No, I'm getting texts that are irritating me. Turning off the texts. I'm not okay, but that's okay. I just woke up in a rage.
You woke up just a full blown Z's.
Okay, I'm real angry.
Did you go to bed angry or did you just wake up angry?
You know, so interesting. What I'm wondering is, I don't know if we've talked about this, Jess, but I had a C-section with my youngest. And what is not oft discussed is that the scar, and I barely have a scar. God bless my the surgeon and my OBGYN, like, you can't see anything.
Wow, that's
which
crazy.
Is actually, it's a note to self. Like, I think, should I want other cosmetic procedures, that I'm a great candidate because my skin doesn't scar.
That's good. I'm going to tuck that one away.
Okay, you know, so like, let's list. Not forget that and remind me of that, Jess.
Remind me of that. Of course I will.
Okay, keep that in the back of the old noggin. But my C-section scar, I had a lot of trouble with the scar initially. I couldn't deal with it or think about it. And this is an interesting mind body. You know, I couldn't think about it because if I did, I would want to like jump into traffic. So on end, I had these special undies. There's these C-section undies you can buy on Amazon that have like a silicone patch
that heal it. Yes.
And so I wore those for like longer than was necessary because I couldn't.
You didn't want to look at it.
I couldn't look at it and I couldn't handle it. Any sensation around it, any fabric rubbing. Yeah. So cut to now 5 years later, the area, the patch of skin where the scar has never had any feeling in it.
Yeah.
Completely numb.
Sure.
Okay. So I don't know. This is the only time in my life I've experienced like a numb patch of skin.
Yeah, sure.
And it's been troubling. Like you know, I don't like to get soap on it. I put soap on top of it and like spray it because I can't. I have not touched this area of skin.
Nothing you're saying to me is shocking.
Okay, great.
Okay,
yeah, next.
Yeah, next. Okay, yeah.
Okay, so I have not touched this area of skin in, you know, since it happened. And there's been, like, even when I go to get a massage or something, I'm like, hey, heads up. Like, I have a C-section scar. You can't come anywhere near it. You can't come anywhere near it.
Yeah, I don't want to see it.
And but, like, it's one of those things where I'm like, this is just something to live with. Like, does this need to change? No, it's just what it is. It's deeply, and I just, the sensation is so weird to describe because it's like, there's nothing painful, quote unquote, about it, but it's a mind fuck, this numbness. It's just a mind fuck.
Well, it's a reminder of this, and it sounds like this C-section was not a, you know, planned experience that
it
was.
It was actually.
It was planned. So what was it that
I had
was
a beautiful C-section and it, I had a very traumatic first birth with Gus, which was vaginal.
Okay, right.
The C-section was planned. I consulted Heidi Rose Robbins.
Yeah.
On the time.
Yeah.
You know, it was very much so planned and a healing experience. It healed the trauma of my first birth.
Okay.
Which is fascinating because it was so medical.
Yeah, right, right. And people and so sometimes not, say, yes, unquote, it's a very
natural.
Right, exactly.
I loved it. I loved every second of it.
Okay. So okay. Then where's the trauma from it?
So now when I say I loved every second of it, you are there, you're having a surgery that you're awake for.
Yeah.
I mean, there's,
yeah,
I think there's trauma to knowing like I'm open.
That feels like the Civil War to me, you know, bite on a bullet type of scenario.
Now I know, I'm assuming, I don't know because I won't Google it, but I assuming that there's lots of, you know, they used to do twilight sleep and women would just wake up and babies were there. And I'm assuming the idea is like, oh, it's much more psychologically, you know, it makes more sense to be awake for the process. I get that. But it is a major surgery.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Where you're just like, and because Sam was so big, I was shaking. They were pulling and my body was like going up and down.
That's
so I know I'm saying there's no trauma, but I'm sorry.
I pictured they just like made a slit. Lift out the baby. They had to pull him out of your stomach like a tauntaun.
Yes.
Like when they sliced open the tauntaun. And instead of crawling in, they had to pull somebody out.
All I know, again, I don't know. But what I don't know what they did over there because that, but I felt, look at what I'm doing. My body was going back and forth. And I hear people saying like, he's so big.
Yeah.
Long story short, I don't know quite what happened, but yes, there was about, I would say, 20 minutes where it was troubling what was going on, mm-hmm. but it was never scary, and I was medicated properly. And then I was handed, I had my hair and makeup done. You know I did.
Of course you did. Yeah, of course you did. Come on.
Of course
I did. The only benefit of having a C-section is you know it's coming, you can prepare.
It was, I loved it. I just loved it. And then, you know, I got this perfect baby who I was like present for.
Yeah. No cone head, nothing.
No. And also I won't even get into, we'll save our birth stories for, you know, Gus and for another episode. But that was so traumatizing that I didn't know which end was up.
That you couldn't enjoy that moment of the baby being put on you for the first time. And
Nothing. And so
that was
the
wonderful.
C-section, despite those 20 minutes of like convulsing, you know, was beautiful, healing, lovely, but the scar. So last night, so Paula's had this type of body work done where like they put electric currents into your like soft tissue.
Okay.
Do you know of what I speak?
I know, but I'm surprised. I haven't tried it. You've told me enough. I'm sold.
Yeah, I'll sign you up for the next. Yeah,
book
next
it
time he's
immediately.
In town. Okay, great. Got it.
Yeah.
So Paul was like, he was telling me about it, and he was like, you know, they do a lot of work on women's C-section scars, and he would like really like to get his hands on you.
For what? For what reason? What's
the
end
feeling back?
Wow. Okay. To get the nerves connected again. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So is this connected to the way I'm feeling this morning? A long way to answer that question. I last night this gentleman arrived and Paul said, he's downstairs. And I said, okay, I'm going to need you to come down with me. Cause even I go, is he going to touch it? And Paul's like, yeah, that's the whole thing. And I was like, I can't do it. Yeah, I cannot do it.
Interesting.
Can't do it.
Interesting. Yeah.
And so then we went down, I talked to him and he got all of the equipment set up and he said, well, why don't I have Paul do it?
Okay.
And
Paul hasn't gone through the training, but
that's okay. What Paul said. He's like, I'm not skilled. And he's like, I think it will be better if Paul stands on this special electrocurrent mat and then the currents that come through his fingers. And I was like, okay.
Okay.
And so he did it. And actually, I know it's crazy to put an, you know, someone in there who hasn't been certified in this work, but at the same time, what I saw right away is that this gentleman intuited that he should not touch it.
Yeah. That would have been counterproductive.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, you do kind of know what's up, you know?
Of course. Yeah.
You do know what's up, that it would be absurd for me to lie down here. I've met you for 2 minutes and to have you touch a spot on my body that has not been touched in 5 years.
Yes.
5 years.
Right, by anybody.
By anybody. Not myself. Even you. So long story short, we worked on it for like an hour. Paul was able to touch it. This guy was able to touch it. And then I was. So it was like, it was a really intense process, and I have, it's not healed, but I have more feeling.
Wow. That's wild.
And then he said at the end, well, Paul did his session because, you know, Paul's got to get his session in.
Of course.
And then when Paul came up, he's like, you know, before he left, he wanted me to tell you, like, we have to keep touching it, and and Sam has to touch it. And I was like, okay. He's like, the kids, both of them need to be touching the scar.
Okay.
So it was, it was like amazing, you know, and I didn't think that there was more healing left for me to done, to left to be done, a little more meat on the bone, as they say.
Yeah. Yeah.
With my birth stories and like what needed to be healed. Cause I've always, my narrative has been like, oh, my planned C-section healed the first one. But I'm now, and I think that is true, but I'm now realizing like, because having the kids touch it last night was like, it was a lot. It was a lot. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
So I woke up feeling just dysregulated. And I was in a meeting before we started, Jess. So I had to be launched into the day. You know, I like to really roll into the day.
Yeah. You didn't want to go outside. Like I said, I want you didn't want to go get the circadian rhythms of it all.
No.
So I had to be like, that was a hard pass.
Yeah.
Well, you haven't completed your stress cycle.
No, I'm very much so in it.
Yeah, you
mean
haven't,
with that, you have, with the C-section.
Yes, last night. No, I mean last night. Last night was healing, but also probably a tremendous amount of cortisol in your body.
I think
and
came
so
up
today,
for sure.
You needed to probably work out first thing. Of course, life didn't allow you to. I mean, listen, I have stress cycles from like 17 weeks ago that I have yet to complete. So, but that's the moment you have a minute, which should be right when we get off the phone. For both of us, you need to go.
I'm scheduled to to the second.
You know what, though, June? We might need to push something because actually, I think this might get worse and worse.
But Jess, it can't be my roots. Look at them.
Well, God, no, it can't push my roots.
That's what I have to go to directly after.
Okay, well, then something after that. It can't be
something after that.
Don't get crazy. Don't get crazy. It can't be the roots, but it has to be something after that. You have to, before nightfall, and for you, that's 3:30. You need to work up a sweat. It doesn't have to be more than 20 minutes, and it doesn't have to be more than a walk, but you haven't discharged that cortisol. So that's why you're in a rage. Your body's trying to, it's saying to you, I haven't done my zebra shake. And the thing is the when you need it the most is when I don't do it. And that's the thing is you need it the most right now. And you're telling me I can't do it, but you have to do it. Now, again, I will not sacrifice the roots. I'm looking at what I'm looking at right now. This is a 5-alarm fire. OK, yeah. We got to get
again,
in there.
And when you came on, you said, are you? You say, what did you say? What did you say?
You look. Are you OK?
Are you OK? Are you OK?
Lennon hates that.
Are you OK?
Is if you ask Lennon, are you tired? She'll fucking take a knife. If she had a steak knife, she'll stab you in the heart. But yeah, so that's important for both of us because I'm similarly dysregulated and have been for the past 6 days, and I keep not doing it. And you have to do it. And you know, Paul, he ain't missing that workout. Neither is Dan. And you have to do it. It's not a luxury. It's a necessity for your body. You don't want that cortisol in there eating up, you know, your internal organs. I don't know. Again, I don't know the science of it. I just know that it works. And you may cry when you work out. You may just, and don't think of it as a gigantic workout. I don't need you even changing clothes. I just need you like either biking or walking or doing something that engages your large muscle groups. And I also wanted to give just some insight to what I think might be going on with this teacher from what I know from my trauma therapist, which is, so they used to think that you had trauma and then that was it. You had trauma and then maybe you could do talk therapy about it, but like it was really just going to be there, you know, and you would have PTSD. They didn't know yet about post-traumatic growth, right? Which is that you can actually be better for an experience mm-hmm. that's traumatic. But the other thing they didn't realize is that the neural pathways of your brain can be reprogrammed. So a traumatic experience is really like it's worn a groove through your brain like the Grand Canyon would a river. And it so when you think about the scar, it goes right to that groove. Trauma. It tells your brain, I'm not safe. Then you don't want to touch it. But what I did work with, and I have to do more with my therapist, is what she does is you do this resourcing, which is you think about a very calm and beautiful moment in your life, wherever that is, and you call up all those details and your brain doesn't, and forgive me, I'm sure I talked about this before on the podcast, but your brain doesn't know the difference between what's imagined in its mind and what's real. So if you really call up all those experiences, you're there and it's flooding your body with all those calming hormones, serotonin. And then what she does is she toggles back and forth to that traumatic memory. And so you go into the memory. When it gets too much, you go back to your resource. Then you go back to the memory. And what ends up happening is it reprograms that neural pathway so that when you think about the traumatic memory, you don't feel that panic anymore. That it was mind-blowing to me. Now, have I done it for my diagnosis day? Absolutely not. And she keeps being like, she keeps me like, TikTok, I'd love to get into that. And I'm like, you know what, Nancy? I got to go. Today. Like, she's not today, Nancy, not today. But I have done it for some other things and it has been enormously helpful. So,
no, it's so interesting. Like, this idea of scars, you know, and numbness. Yeah. Because I think there was a part of me, Jess, that was like, it's good. I don't want to feel that. I want that.
You're scared. Yes.
I want that to be hidden away. And it's in a spot that I can't, like, that I'm not with all the time, you know? And it's, I think there was weirdly comfort in knowing that I couldn't feel it, but it's very strange to not be able to feel a part of your body. But I didn't, I think here's the real rule. I think that the reason why the C-section was healed for me what was so terrible and gave me the experience of childbirth that I wanted and helped me accept that I had a painful and traumatic childbirth experience before. And I was able to accept that and just say that happened. That's what happened. And that's a part of my story with my son, that's how we started. And that's our narrative and our story, and that's okay. You know, that I wanted, that I couldn't allow for there to be any pain around my second childbirth or anything unknown. You know what I mean? I just couldn't allow it, and I couldn't, because it, I needed that to be some. I needed that
to like have it be tied up in a bow. Yeah. But I would say that scar, even though it's not about the first childbirth, it is.
It is. Oh my God, it is. Oh my God, of course it is. Which I didn't. And that's why I was like, Gus, and I guess Paul told the kids what I was doing downstairs. And when I came up, Gus was like, how is your stomach? I'm like, my stomach's fine. And he's like, oh, because I know you have a gnome stomach. I'm like, come again? He goes, I know you have a gnome stomach. I go, what is gnome?
Gnome? Like a little man?
No.
Oh, a gnome. I thought it meant like a little gnome. You know, like when you see like a, out, like a lawn ornament, like a little cute little gnome stomach.
But you're absolutely right, which is why it was important that both kids touch it. Anyway, it was just a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot.
And why are you expected to just be totally cool today? Like, you can't. You have to complete that cycle and cry a little bit. And maybe it'll be 3 days from now, you'll cry a little bit more. That's good.
Yeah. And you said this early on. I think when I saw you at Casey's wedding, you said like, oh, we all need to, or maybe you said it on the podcast, like, every person who's delivered a child in whatever way, every way is a natural way. Fuck all of that bullshit about natural childhood, all of it. It's all natural, right? It's all what happened. But every person who's done that really most likely, even if it was positive, needs to spend a weekend away.
Yeah.
Processing.
Yeah, either together. I would say it would be a great thing together, because it's the most, it's one of, well, there are a couple that could come for you, but yes, there, it's one of the most traumatic things. I don't care if it was easy peasy, you know, lemon breezy, it's still crazy. And it's 50% insane. Or something of women used to die from it. Like, I mean, imagine back in the old days, and they'd be like, good luck. You know what I mean? Like, good luck.
Yeah, good luck to you out there.
Because I got bad news for you. Our kids' heads are huge, and we would have never survived. No way. It was stuck. Mine's head was stuck. Now, if they wanted to be soap opera stars, that's going to bode well for them. You know, they all have gigantic heads.
I do, like, know bobble heads. I have one too.
Yeah. And we, but no one wanted us for the soaps.
No,
but
I wasn't asked. But they didn't see that invite.
Yeah. I'm so glad you shared that, June. And I think everyone else who's listening, who's gone through any kind of trauma, should know, too, that there is healing that can happen, you know, and that, you know, and there really, are people that can help.
There really are. And I really appreciate Paul for kind of pushing me here, because I think one thing that happens, too, is when we give birth, we are including another person in the experience. And we also are reconciling, like with my first birth, I did not deliver my placenta. I found out from my dad that my mother also had that issue, and that it is apparently passed on. So, yeah. Which, by the way, women used to die from all the time. Like, oh, that was God, like, yeah. that thing's not coming out. It's about to kill you. But
yeah.
But yes, there's an opportunity to heal both what we've gone through and how we brought children into the world, and also how we came into the world. Yeah. That there's generational healing that's available. And despite the fact that I'm rage-filled this morning, and I feel angry at myself, I feel angry at you.
I can take it. I can take it.
You didn't blink an eye.
I didn't care.
Why was I angry that you were on time?
Well, because it's, well, first of all, that's shocking. If anything, you got to complete that stress cycle, because you're like, wait, I'm 4 minutes late and Jessica got on 10 minutes early. I mean, who, in what world are we living in? Nobody expects that.
No, and I'm like, why is the world topsy-turvy this morning? Is it opposite day?
Listen, it'll never happen again. That. No, but one thing I wanted to share, God, and you know, I wanted to say to our deep divers, like,
You guys are leaving us some of the most beautiful reviews. And
oh, God, yes.
Like, they're just so beautiful. And more than that, you're DMing us some of the most, oh, God, they're just so meaningful to us. And we text each other back and forth screen grabs of them because they just...
put them in a binder.
I'm going to, too.
It makes our... laminate them.
It truly is one of the... I feel like the proudest thing I've ever done is this podcast, simply because it's brought me so much closer to strangers. Mm-hmm. I feel like I know every single person who's writing in. I'm like, I could have coffee with you and we could immediately get into it. And so I want to say thank you so much for that. And of course, there's, you've said to me, stop reading those reviews, hon. Because of course, there's like one or two that'll say, like, you talk too much about death, you know, stop being so deep. And so I am a little in my head about that, but I'm going to push through because...
Okay, so I want to ask you about that.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because I am curious. Like, we've talked about receiving criticism and feedback, right, before. And I'm of the mind that some feedback and criticism is really, can be helpful and we can choose to take it in, right?
Oh, but, yeah. I always look to see, is there a nugget of something I need to... Right. That's why I ask
that
you.
That I like, should hear. Yeah, fine. But I do feel like, if I may, that so the positive reviews so far outweigh.
There's only two people that...
Far
two nasty people that said something weird.
Yeah, but there are always going to be.
Of course.
You know, right. So would you feel better if there was never, would you trust it if there weren't any negative reviews?
Yeah, I probably would, but this
you
is
what
you
would believe,
I'll,
like, okay, no, I everybody it. Loves it.
Well, I would
and is
feel
the goal
better.
For everybody to love it.
Exactly. Well, here's where I'll say is, I didn't grow up in a way that negative, dark emotions were something that were welcomed at the table for very long. And by for very long, I mean for more than 1 second. So you got to get positive and you got to like, and it's really served me well to get through so much. But I'm now being my fully authentic self, which involves, I think, for all of us, a lot of things that are painful and joyful, but also like, so I got worried, like, oh my God, am I just bumming everyone out with my talks about death? But the truth of the matter is I just lost my surrogate mom and my 14-year-old dog, it has cancer. And I am in it. I'm in it with her. And what I wanted to share about, which kind of reminded me of what you were talking about, is so Emma, my dog, she's 14. That's like a 90-year-old woman. Okay. And she taught me how to parent and be a mother. When I first got her, I thought I couldn't do it. I considered giving her back because I didn't think I was responsible enough to keep another being alive. I was sneaking her onto the Paramount lot and telling people she was a show dog. I was like, oh, she's on tool time.
Totally untrue.
I was like, she's on tool time. Like, because Dan was away and I'd be like, and I put a blanket over her as I drove through security. Now, I'm comfortable breaking the law. So that it almost gave me a thrill. But anyway, so I thought, because now I have children, I've been through two bouts of, you know, crazy cancer in this house. I thought, you know what, like when the time comes, like I'm going to have distance. Okay. And there was a moment where she like, okay, it's so gross, but like a poop was half out of her butt. She couldn't stop it. And schnauzers they're German. They're very fastidious. Okay. They don't like to be dirty. Oh, they are very fastidious. They're also extremely stoic. They will never tell you if they're in pain. And so she like couldn't stop that. And she fell down the stairs. And I just started sobbing, these like guttural sobs, because she was afraid for the first time. And it hit a maternal vein, and I can't even say maternal because I know it doesn't matter you're a parent or not a parent, male or female, or it's it's intense with animals. But I started sobbing and I didn't stop for like an hour. And Dan was like, what can I do? What do you need? And I was like, I need this to get out of me. I need to just sob. And as I'm like bathing her, I'm just grief, grief, grief. And I was like, this can't just be about her. And I realized like, okay, like when Lila died after her memorial, I cried throughout the whole memorial. I felt sick. Then the next day I was like, you know what? I guess I processed it. Mm-hmm. And my therapist said, no, it's there. It's like we're all walking around with a full cup of feeling. And it just, when it sees an opening, it rushes out. That's not a bad thing. But that's what happened. It felt out of control. I don't think I've cried that way. I mean, I didn't cry that way at all through my illness or dance. Something about this dog, the pureness of their love for us, the fact we are responsible for them, that they're like even more childlike than your own children.
They are. They're nonverbal. Yeah, absolutely.
It just rocked me. So
it is, yeah.
And so the next day I felt totally dysregulated and angry. And I started a big old fight.
Sure.
I ended that night alone on that couch, like fucking nobody understands but me and my schnauzer. Ain't nobody understands.
Well, listen.
I'll do this alone. Like my old pattern, old shit. Like I might as well have not been through any therapy. And I was like, oh yeah, it's just me and me and this, right. This old copy of Better Homes and Gardens that I can scrounge up. And I took my contacts out, so I can't even see it.
But I'm me too from proud flipping through and
too
circling
proud
things.
To go upstairs and get my glasses.
Right. In this tableau, that's not going to work. Like, I have to sit here angrily, you know. I've got to fully commit to what this is.
Yeah. How do I make this peach cobbler? I can't see half the ingredients.
Oh, Jess.
Life is...
Well, listen, I think it is related to the reviews, right? Because I think that sometimes we have this idea of if the bad stuff comes in, if, you know, the like story we tell ourselves with the podcast, like everybody loves it. It's a runaway hit. You know, we're connecting with people. They seem to be really seeing them, either seeing themselves or being able to look into a window of another experience. And we're talking about grief and some of the things that are very taboo that people don't really bring to small chit chat, right? And
yeah, they call this a chat cast, right? This is like the opposite,
right? It's like, I guess what I come back to is, well, can we hold both things?
Yeah.
You know, can we? Does one negate the other? Does one, if you're feeling sad about the loss of someone, does that mean we're not over it? Does that mean we haven't, you know, that we'll always be sad? Or can we let it? Can we let it be? Can we let like the sad feelings come up and have a place? You know, can we let the bad reviews? There are people who do not care for us.
I know.
And I, you know what? I tip my hat. I tip my hat to those people. And there are people who, you know, have legitimate critiques. I hear it, you know, and I'm not. Yeah. It might be too sad for some people. Grief, you know, is like a lot for people to contend with. And, you know, I think especially when it comes to animals, like you said, there is this human-animal connection that is beyond language. Like in the same way that grief is. We can talk around it and we can talk about it, but at the end of the day, what you and I both know is that language fails. And when we look at our animals, there's both no ability to communicate, and it's the clearest communication you will ever experience.
Well, that's what Heidi said, because I called her from a Ralph's parking lot, which is just, I can't believe I had a session in a Ralph's parking lot, but I had to drop BB off for someone to help her learn how to read. And then I'm just talking to her, and she said, and
again,
I said,
you use Heidi in ways that aren't sanctioned, you know.
I know. I also kept her waiting for 20 minutes. And, you know, she's booked, like, for the next year and a half. Okay?
She should be.
And she squeezed me in. Oh, but I said, Heidi, I'm leaving for London in 7 days. And I have a sick dog, and I don't know if she's going to make it, you know. And I don't know if I should drag her to another country. And I'm so scared, and I don't know what to do. And she said, you know, there's a conversation. She used that word. She said, there's a conversation between you and her, because I'm her mom. You know, she's mine. And I, as a mother, yes. I know when it's time. I will know when it's time for her, and she'll tell me. And she said, maybe she knows that you're okay, and she can leave now, you know, because she's been with me through this whole thing. And she said, maybe she knows it's okay to leave. And so I'm trying, like, every night I say to her, it's okay, you know, you tell me, I'm here, I'm right here. You tell me what you need, and I'll do it, you know, because it's not about me keeping her alive for me. It's not about that. I don't need another day. I want her to never feel pain. It's not, they don't have to. You know, humans,
no,
we can't pull the plug on humans, although sometimes I think we should be able to. I'd like you to pull my plug. If I give you the fucking high sign,
got it,
do a pratfall and pull that motherfucking plug, okay? But, but anyway, so I don't know. Am I crying about the dog? Am I crying about Lila? I'm not quite sure. And it really doesn't matter. But we have to be gentle with ourselves when this stuff is going on. We have to. We have to give our bodies what we need. We have to cancel the thing. You know, we have to ask for help. You know, of course, I'm like, packing up and not asking anybody for help, like saying, and then no one knows what needs to be done, you know. So yesterday I asked for help. Yeah, you know. So here we are. If you didn't like sad things, listen, reverse trigger warning.
I know it's hard when the trigger warning comes after, you know. That's tough.
Spoiler alert. This was more intense.
Listen, if you fast forwarded, don't go back. Okay. Just stay here.
If you wondered if it got more fun,
it didn't. It didn't. Do not rewind. Do not rewind. Jess, I am so sorry. And I do think that this is what we sign on for when we bring an animal into our home, and we know that. Yeah. It is a part of the responsibility.
Yeah, my cousin said it's the only relationship where it brings you so much joy and so much love, but you know it will end in heartbreak.
Yeah.
It just will. And there's nothing getting around it.
No, there isn't. And I really do think that, I don't know what you should do, but I do believe that over the last like 10 years, really, you have been like honing in on your intuition and your like nonverbal communication and knowing what needs to be done when it needs to be done and listening to what needs to happen. And I just hope you trust that you will know what the right thing to do is.
Right. Thank you, June. And I was actually thinking about intuition too, because it actually was so funny. I thought if I was going to keep it more light, I was going to talk about intuition. And because I had a friend who had a really upsetting experience with a preschool where it was just really poorly managed. Her kid was having a hard time and the school really mismanaged it. So she had to take him out. And I said, listen, the one thing I want to say to every parent, and I'm just speaking as a mother, is we have these incredible instincts that, you know, that Malcolm Gladwell book, Blink, was all about that. And actually, you know, I don't like reading, but that's a book I do suggest everyone just peruse. You don't have to listen to the whole thing. You can just, you know, look for the nuggets. But basically, he says, like, your split second
assessment
you have of a person, a place, a thing is usually like 99% right. And then you spend the rest of the time using your rational brain to go, but it was so well recommended, but all the right people are here. But, and so he's like, no, if we can clear all of that away, you will know what the right thing is to do, especially for your child and for your pet and for yourself. And I had to do that with the medical stuff because someone wrote me to say on DM, like, my sister passed away of breast cancer and I did not think she had the right care. And I was wondering, because you seemed so happy with yours, how you did that. And I was trying to think about it because I lucked into a lot of great doctors. But with Dan, I had to fire one. And I did also ask for several different nurses to be replaced. I mean, I started to be really persona non grata on that. And actually, it was not the nurses' fault at all. They were understaffed and overworked. But I would say if anybody is having those types of decisions to be made, it's your instinct. You don't like the cut of someone's jib? Next. Who is that? Ariana Grande? Next.
Next.
Now, that song is about learning things from ex-boyfriends. But this one, I mean, is I don't care what it is that gives you that sign, right? Just get out and hire someone else. You don't have to. And I think as women, we would like to please and like to think someone else has the answers. But no, you know, you got to tap into it.
Casey's been doing some, I mean, we might have talked about it on her episode, some intuition work, and maybe we should have on this woman who she's been, you know, studying with. But I think when it comes to, especially where that shows up, is when we talk about animals and dogs in particular being these just like balls of energy, you know, who are looking to us. And asking the question of us, who am I? Who am I? Tell me who I am. When you, owner, react to me, I know where I belong and I know who I am. And I'm looking to you to help me figure that out. And they're just energy. They're like balls of energy. And I just think we learn what you said about Emma is so beautiful. And we learn so much about ourselves through these animals, and they offer us so much, and we offer them so much, and it's such a beautiful, pure transfer of energy. And I do think that, like, Emma moving into this new stage where, you know, is really hard, and what an honor it is to help her, to shepherd her through this passage. Yeah. You know, it's an honor. It's an honor. And you will do it beautifully. You are. You are.
Oh, I feel this like time crunch because we're leaving. And of course, I'm like, why is it that we always feel so guilty about work? I'm like, of course, like work is making it so like I have to make some, you know, decisions that I have to drag her across, you know. It's like, no, work is important and we have to do it and we want to do it. And she wouldn't want that either for me to be, that's not what they want.
No.
You know,
They don't want you to feel badly. Strong, confident leader so they can feel safe.
Yeah, so they can feel safe. Exactly. And I've been so short with Bibi the last week because she doesn't know. And I'm like, so I'm like, you know, keeping it to myself. And like, I'm just like, we're doing chores. There's a chore wheel. Like, everyone's like, what? Like, when are, I'm like, there'll be no videos in 2024. You'll be reading. And here are some wooden blocks. And you will be playing with these toys because we have had too much fun, my friend. My God, and she's like,
I feel this. I'm constantly doing that to the kids. Where, like, in my anger, I'm like, a new administration has begun. Like, there's brand new legislation here. And it's like, yes! Whoa.
Like, you've been letting me do nothing but watch vids for, like, the entire pandemic. And now you're saying, like, you will never. I think you just open up a book of Greek myths and figure it out. And she's like, okay, this is a little above my reading level.
I get it. Because it's like, something's got to change here. And people have to get in line. You know? And it's so shocking because it comes without any warning. Like, no. We didn't vote on this. Like, who are you? It's so shocking.
Are you? But the thing I have been doing that's been helping, and this is completing the stress cycle in a way that doesn't feel like a chore, thank God, is I've been picking her up at the bus after camp, and we've been driving to the beach at like 5 p.m. And we are surrounded by men, gorgeous, hairless men in banana hammocks. I mean, these men... Wow. Are putting it out there. I don't know why there's so many at 5 p.m. who come for a sunset cocktail, but we get in the ocean. And, you know, normally I would never get into an ocean. I mean, like, that's crazy. But I am getting into the waves, and it's cold, and it feels good. And for that time, I am happy because I can't be sad or in the future when I'm, you know, being pummeled by a wave. You know, and I just so that's a good nature is a good one for releasing Absolutely. That stress. If you could just get out there and feel things, what does it feel like? It's cold. Ooh, the bubbles, mm-hmm. you know, when it. So I'll try and do that. I think I'm making her do a bunch of reading again today. But
cancel that. Oh, Jess.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so that's where we're at.
That's where we found each other, and that's okay. Like, and you don't have to be any different, really. You don't.
Well, I really appreciate that from you. I appreciate that from our listeners. I feel so grateful. Oh no, I would love it. If someone would just scream at me. No, I told you. With my friends, there is to be no apologies. I don't want to hear it. I don't care. Come as you are. Be a mess to me. Because I've been a mess to you, and that makes us feel better.
It's so true. I'm sure so many deep divers can relate to what it is to take care of a beloved animal, you know, and the depth of that experience. I will tell you, I know I've mentioned her before. I don't have my phone with me, but I'll try to post about it if I remember to. But this hospice nurse that I follow TikTok.
By the way, you're really killing the TikTok game, Dan said. At like Thank 11 you. P.m. at night. He goes, God, she just really delivers.
I really appreciate that.
You deliver some real quality content.
You know, it's funny. Like, I wait for the content. Talk about intuition. Like, I'm not someone who's like, got to put out content all the time.
No, you're not overposting. No. It has to be the right song and the right moment. And I really
do feel like it is intuitive where I'm like, oh, I got something to say.
My mom twice has brought up the one where you throw all your hotel cards in the air.
Never be seen again. I can't keep track of this. But I do wait for the inspiration. You know, I'm not like, it's honestly, it's similar to this podcast in a way.
talk about intuition, Jessica St. Clair. Like, this podcast has been a study in, you know, trusting. Trusting.
Well, Heidi actually said, she goes, God, I was looking back at your chart, and she said, and it was so fortuitous that you released Deep Dive when you did, because that began a part of my whatever chart where I'm very protected. So that's why she said, whatever happens with Emma will not be horrific. It won't, because you're protected until, like, you know, December. So I got to just do as many things as I can, you know?
Well, that's beautiful. Well, I wanted to tell you that this nurse that I follow who does hospice care work, and if you've ever had a loved one in hospice, these people who do it are just fucking incredible. And anyway, she's wonderful, and she talks so much about how most people have these end of life, you know, visions of their deceased loved ones showing up and waiting for them. Wow. And, you know, this is a woman who is not religious and is basically like, I'm just reporting the facts. Like, I'm not saying that
I'm just saying it happens.
There.
It keeps happening, keeps happening.
Do this what you will. I don't care. But, like, this is what's up. Anyway, she talks a lot about how so many people see their pets who've passed.
Well,
that was so beautiful.
Teresa Caputo says that. The Long Island Medium says that's who greets you. Is all of your pets, because you want to feel safe. They come bounding. I think she said they come bounding over the hill. Can you imagine anything better?
Yep. And here's the thing about animals, and I do want to have my friend Katya Litsky on at some point, and I want her to, I would love to put you in touch with her to talk about this, because I've never seen someone so connected to animals and dogs in particular, but she, so we were talking, and she has a wonderful podcast that's coming out just about people and their pets, but which I will promote when the time comes, when she says it's the right time to. But she and I were talking about this feeling of, like, not deserving an animal, because I also struggled with that. And this interesting exchange of energy, which is like, I'm giving myself the gift of taking care of you. It's like, and feeling like I deserve to be someone who can take care of a pet.
Yes. Yes. That's what I struggled with when I was like, oh, I shouldn't keep her. When I first got her, I go, who am I to say I can take this animal in as my ward?
As my ward of
as
the
my
state.
Ward. She didn't choose me.
Yeah. And listen, you're known to show up places with $900 in cash to a Craigslist puppy listing.
Oh, mistake. God. Even but Emma was like, what the fuck are you doing, man?
But it is also important to know when it's not right. That's an act of service to an animal, though. But that's an act of service to say, oh, this isn't correct.
No, 100%, especially when you have an elderly dog who's like, I don't can't have this craziness. Yeah, I know. And you know what? The other thing is, when you go through something like this, I will be better able to help my friends who go through it, because I know I've had friends who've said, my dog is sick, I'm going through this. And I've been like, I'm sorry. It's so much more than I'm sorry. So much more than I'm sorry. You know, and I do regret, you know, of course, I had one of my dear friends came and sat with me in the car while I was waiting for the first diagnosis, because she went through that with her dog. And I don't think I was there for her enough. I know I wasn't, because I didn't get it. Or I didn't want to hear. I think a lot of times, too, if people have younger dogs, they're just like, they don't really want to go there, because then they have to think about it, right? So they're just like, but I have had some people who have lost their pets, and they have just been such angels to me. And I'm about to get on the phone with a British man named Dr. Bruce. I have never met this man. Jessica Chaffin found me a vet, because if she makes it, she'll be over in London with me. And so Dr. Bruce said, I'll be waiting for you. I also have a 14-year-old dog. And last night when I was sitting there watching Emma like pant and like look like she was in some sort of pain, but I didn't know, I wrote Dr. Bruce the most insane email. And I said, Dr. Bruce, could you talk to me?
Does he have a last name? I always struggle
with doctors who go by their first names.
No, he doesn't go by
It's like
by
my
this.
Adult orthodontist was, I called Dr. Mario and I never liked it. Okay, I never liked
That's
it.
Not, Dr. Bruce doesn't want to be known as Dr. Bruce. He's okay. Just, I only know that his name is Bruce. And he's going to get on the phone with me. He said, I'd love to talk to you through what would be in Emma's best interest. Why is this angel getting on the phone with me?
That's
why are people so wonderful to each other?
Well, we learn. Well, listen, we learn a lot about people by the way we treat, you know, those around us that are the most vulnerable, that are the most.
That's true.
You know, that are nonverbal, that don't have power. You know, an agency.
Right.
That's when we learn about who we are. We can draw a very clear line, learn a lot about a society, a lot about a culture, by how we relate to those around us, all living, who, you know, are vulnerable.
Yeah,
that's right. Vulnerable and to abuse, and that's when we get to know who we are.
Right, right. So let's just always try to be our best selves, especially when we're dealing with that. You know, whatever that means. Whew. All right. Well, I was going to share a skin nectar that I thought was really good. Elastin.
What's that now? I mean, I'm listening.
Okay. Well, hold on one second. I just want to, I know I have to open it up. So this Elastin skin nectar really promotes collagen. A-L-A-S-T-I-N. I'm seeing an enormous, enormous change in my skin.
It looks great.
Well, I don't have it on. This is tears. These are the salty tears. That, and I wanted to also talk about Rose Hair Oil, R-O-Z, which is my woman who cuts my hair. Mara Rozak created this hair oil she's going to send you. I talked about
Rose,
it on.
Oh, you told me about that. And I'm very
and
excited.
And I texted you, of course, to ask your address.
I never wrote
you didn't
that.
Text me back, but... but this hair oil is such a treat. So if anybody wants to treat themselves.
And I'm going to write you back with my address. And, you know, and I'm also, just so you know, I've had several people in the last weeks complain about my correspondence. And
that's okay.
Gotta tell you, I'm not taking it on.
Why should you? You know, when I lost my phone in New Hampshire for 7 days and someone found it on a random porch. No one knows. I think it dropped out of my pocket when I was frog catching. Somehow survived the rains. I was sad when it got back to me. I don't want it. I don't want a phone. I wish I didn't have a phone. I don't want it.
Jess.
My phone is my prison.
Oh, my God. I don't think I want a phone either.
I hate my phone. That's why I love London. You're gonna hear from me on WhatsApp, but that might as well be a letter at that point. I might as well be sending it, you know, via a cruise line over to you from WhatsApp, because it might be months before you check WhatsApp, and then you'll see I've taken a video of
WhatsApp for when I was in Canada. I was like a WhatsApp. WhatsApper.
Okay, great. Well, you're gonna be back on it, but yeah, I hate my phone. It's a prison, and I hate it. And I wish we could write letters to each other via longhand. But that goes with my candles and, you know, everything. I'm going to really commit to the candle life when I get to London. I think it's fitting.
Well, Jess, I love you so much.
I love you.
I'm so glad we got to talk today. And
I feel better. I feel better having let a bit of my tears out. I hope you feel a little bit better sharing.
I do. I do. I really
feel at peace. And we got to shake that zebra, you know? We got to shake that zebra.
Got to shake that
today. Okay. So see where you can shake it. Okay?
I will. It's not going to be with the roots because that's you know,
please,
let's
please,
not
please.
I yeah. can't look at this. Unless you're
it's like, let's bend it, not break it. You know what I mean?
Unless this is for a role in the mayor of Easttown, I don't want to see it. Okay.
Deep divers, we'll see you next week.
Thank you, deep divers, for listening. We are so grateful for Lemon Parsnips for her work on our theme song, and so excited to announce that deep divers, you have a chance to put lyrics to our theme song. Please send your version to thedeepdive@earwolf.com. That's thedeepdive@earwolf.com. And today's theme song was recorded, composed, and written by @PammyLaLaLa on Instagram. Go follow her to say thank you and give her a special shout out. That's @Pammy, P-A-M-M-I-E, La 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 on Instagram. Thank you, Pammy. Thank you, deep divers. We'll see you next week.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's just dive right in. Never felt so alive. Sharing with women and anyone who cares. 'Cause when you get, you know you wanna share. And if you share, that's when they're really gonna care. Oh yeah, with anyone from anywhere. And Jess and Julianne, we thank you for being there.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free one-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Ann Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnnGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.